Morning. How are we? It's fantastic and an absolute privilege to be joining you this morning. You'll usually find me at the Six. My name's Matt Makaya. I'm a partner here at Maybridge, and I am here to continue our series on prayer. Huge welcome to each and every one of you, especially those people who are new here. It's really great to have you and know that you are really, really so welcome here. So my task was to have a look at the next question in prayer, which is why? Why do we pray? What's the point in praying? What's the purpose of doing it? So now you know each other's names, I'm going to do that horrible thing of making you talk to each other. And yes, I know there's a typo on there. Yes, I know I'm an English teacher. I am owning it. Why do you pray? Have a conversation. And if you don't pray, what stops you? Have a conversation. So if we could bring those conversations to a close, that would be wonderful. I'm sure each and every one of you have your own reasons why you pray, something that's personal to you. Let's dive into why pray. So when my wife and I were dating, I made it clear that I felt that communication was fundamental to a successful marriage. Being able to listen to my partner, as well as feeling able to be vulnerable about my worries and annoyances, felt like the best way to ensure we were able to be on the same page. We would come to each other when things were tough and talk openly and compromise easily in an honest and natural way. That wasn't supposed to be the laugh, come on. Almost 3 years on, I am reminded on an almost daily basis of how I declared that communication is key when I forget to put something on the calendar, when I neglect to say when so-and-so's life situation has changed, and definitely when the milk has almost run out. I'm reminded because despite being an English teacher who literally teaches different modes of communication every working day of my life, I am rubbish at communicating effectively. It's hard, especially when you are to communicate regularly and intimately to somebody you feel already knows you inside out. But that doesn't make it something that shouldn't be worked at. Some days I'm great at listening to Bex and telling her the important information, and other times I keep things from her that really I should be sharing, just down to my predisposition of trying to do things on my own. I recognize that this communication thing isn't something we can just decide to do and it magically happens. Instead, it's something that takes conscious thought and purpose behind it. And in my marriage, the purpose is to ensure we both know that we are working on being closer and serving each other in the best way that we can. So when I think of prayer, it reminds me of this early declaration in my relationship to put all effort into communication. Let's dive into this kind of communication. Why pray? Well, we're told to. In the Bible, it says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." We are literally commanded to pray because it is through that that we will live a life without anxiety. The Bible tells us to pray. The Bible is the word of God. Therefore, surely that should be the only reason we need to be praying all the time. So that's the end of my talk. Even the perfect model for how we are to live our lives gives time to prayer. Although it's not been that long since we dived into Matthew, there is so much from God in such an important part of Jesus' story. So we're going back there, and we're going back to the point where Jesus and his disciples have gone to the Garden of Gethsemane. It's the night that Jesus will be arrested. It's the last time that he has freedom in the earthly sense before he is taken, tried, and executed through crucifixion. This is what Jesus did with that freedom. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." Before we take a deeper look at this, let's just look at the surface level. Jesus prayed. And if Jesus did it, surely so should we. Christians believe Jesus lived a perfect and blameless life, and he was the Son of God. Jesus needed to pray too. So we are commanded to pray, and we are given the blueprint from the somebody who lived out a life of prayer. Again, do we need any other reason? Well, I don't know about you, but when it comes to putting in effort in my life, I'm not always one to do as I'm told. Just ask my wife, my boss, my mum, even my church minister. Walk 10,000 steps a day if you're able. Eat at least 5 fruits and vegetables daily. Drink at least 2 litres of water. Reduce social media exposure. Eat less refined sugar. Sleep 7 to 8 hours a night. All these things are things that we are told to do. But can everyone here, hand on heart, claim to be doing all these every single day of the week? I doubt it. But if someone said to you, "You must do this, yours and the lives of others depend on it," you give it a good go, no? Some here will pray multiple times a day without thinking about it. Just communicate with God regularly. Some here will never have tried to communicate with God. It's important for both ends of the spectrum and everyone in between to think about the purpose of prayer. Why we pray and what's in it for me. Not necessarily because we only do things that are for our own personal benefit, but it gives meaning and reason to something that we are called to do. Which brings me on to this. Why pray? Well, it's good for you. We are living in a really difficult world. In the 2018 survey, 74% of people have felt so stressed they have been overwhelmed or unable to cope. Putting that into perspective, this was before the pandemic, which came with even more mental health issues for some. A further poll across 122 countries has demonstrated increases in stress every year since 2011, with a spike post-pandemic. Stress, anxiety, worry, fear, and depression are a reality to more and more people every day. This has, of course, led to mindfulness. We reflected a few weeks ago on why we should pray rather than practice mindfulness, because mindfulness is the idea of being present in the moment, paying attention to our thoughts with kindness, and being non-judgmental. All great things, but what happens, though, is these thoughts still remain with us. We are not laying our worries down. We are trying to quieten them within our own abilities and our own actions. With prayer, we can lay down those worries, emotions, and troubles. As David did, who actually wrote many of the Psalms, he doesn't practice mindfulness. The king on this earth that he is cries to God with his struggles. As Ian mentioned last week, in moments of disconnect, David laments in pieces such as Psalms 142, 1-2, which says, "I cry aloud to the Lord. I lift up my voice to the Lord for mercy. I pour out before him my complaint. Before him, I tell my trouble." David and his story is seen to foreshadow the life of Jesus. He wasn't perfect, but understood his need for communication with God. David looked for mercy from God, looked to God for help, to help him with his issues, because he knew that he did not have the power. And it was through prayer that he managed this. As told in Matthew 26, before he was arrested, Jesus said to his disciples, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." When Jesus was overwhelmed, Jesus prayed. Jesus was aware that prayer was good for him, as it is for each and every one of us, whenever and whatever we may be feeling. Science even proves that this prayer thing is really good for us. A 2009 study on the effects of prayer on depression and anxiety found that members of a group had lower rates of depression and anxiety and were more optimistic after sessions when they actually prayed for one another, compared to the control group who did no prayer at all. A 2011 study found prayer can help reduce anger and aggression. Another study found that when dating and married partners prayed for one another, they tended to be less aggressive and more inclined to forgive. Interestingly, it's not just about prayer in general. As has been mentioned in Matt's talk a few weeks ago, the way for prayer to be beneficial is to pray for a God that is loving and forgiving. Whereas praying to an angry and vengeful God is actually detrimental to our lives. Our God is love and has shown grace through the sacrifice of his Son. So why not pray when it is so good for you? Taking it further, why pray? Well, it deepens and develops a relationship with God. In Gethsemane, Jesus highlighted the most important thing to him. It was not surrounding himself with like distractions that we do in everyday life. It wasn't even talking to his disciples, which he did and he enjoyed doing. At his most overwhelmed, he leaned in to God. Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed. These are the actions of someone that trusts God implicitly. Of course, he's the Son of God. So clearly, he's going to trust God, isn't he? But looking closer at what Jesus says, we can see that Jesus still needed to call on this relationship that he had. He asked God for the responsibility of sacrificing himself to be removed. He felt so close to God that he asked for the purpose for him even being on this earth to be taken away. He felt so close to God, he felt as if he could ask for the impossible. But he also felt so close to God that he recognized that his life, as well as all of ours, is not for what we want, but for what God wants. The Canadian psychologist David Benner describes prayer as the soul's native language. And if prayer is communicating with God, then it is through prayer that our soul gets to talk to God. We are able to open up, be vulnerable in a society that sees vulnerability as weakness, unhelpful, and impractical. Through prayer, God has provided the means for us to deepen a relationship with him. Justin Welby, the Archbishop of Canterbury, says, prayer begins with an encounter with a person, an opening of ourselves to be with the person who is three persons in one. God, who comes to be with us through Jesus by his Spirit. And being with us changes us. Prayer is the cornerstone to us developing a real relationship, one that you want to, we would expect of any good relationship that is based on trust, built on understanding, forgiveness, and of course, communication. The church leader, Pete Gregg, and prayer 24/7 pioneer, puts it like this: a key to a relationship is talking to him and listening to him. That's prayer. It'd be weird if I didn't talk to my wife. You'd think we had a weird relationship. It's the same with God, and that's why prayer is so natural and important. The great thing is, God is a lot better than communication than you and your husband, your partner, your wife, everyone you talk to, and definitely a lot better than communication than this forgetful, disorganized, and tired English teacher. In fact, he's the best at it, and that's why he created prayer in a way to be carrying on with this perfect relationship and allowing it to exist. Now, I want to tell you a story. A young man, early 20s, had gone through relationship troubles and could not forgive himself for what in the greater scheme of things were trivial misdemeanors in a relationship. Due to a restrictive, expectant, and abusive childhood, he had developed impossible standards of himself. So, when he did not demonstrate perfection in his relationship, he did not know how to react. It catapulted him back to his childhood trauma, where, due to a lack of communication and relationship, he was unable to live up to the standards of a father figure in his life. Depression ensued to a point where this lad overdosed on more than one occasion, as well as regularly self-harmed. He then prayed. Prayed because he did not have a relationship with himself. He was unable to communicate with anyone. He prayed for all this hurt to stop. God didn't answer everything immediately. God put people in the right place. He taught the lad to trust. God ensured people listened and told the young man that he was loved. God taught the boy of his understanding. God showed the man how being sorry and not wanting to repeat mistakes was enough. Punishment was no longer necessary. Through Jesus, God showed forgiveness. This all started from a prayer that I made because this story is mine. I prayed more. I repented, I rejoiced, I raged, I recognized, I revered, I thanked, I requested, and most importantly, I continued. You see, I prayed for one thing, for things to stop. Instead, God showed me a relationship that I could be in due to communication, something he had been waiting for me to do for so long. One church leader sums up my thoughts on the power of prayer on developing a relation with God. He says, my prayer life has been transformed. The greatest fulfillment has not been in the list of miraculous answers to prayers I have received, although that has been wonderful. The greatest thrill has been the qualitative difference in my relationship with God. When I started to pray, I didn't know that was going to happen. Whatever stage we are in our faith journey, whether starting out with exploring God or a seasoned Christian with an exemplary prayer life, approaching prayer knowing that it is the way God listens and speaks in order to develop a relationship with you can be no bad thing. Purposeful prayer will deepen the intimate relationship that God is so desperate to have with each and every one of you. If you haven't prayed before, give it a go, knowing that you are starting this relationship from your side. It can only come with brilliant results. You might not hear him straight away. You might not get an answer, but you will be opening up to God so he can change your life for the better. Why pray? To give up control. Imagine you are playing a game of tug of war. You're holding on to a rope, and on the other end of that rope is a huge, big monster. The monster is anything in your life that you are struggling with. It could be depression, anxiety, a relationship, an addiction, anything. In between you and the monster is a large, dark pit that you can't see the bottom of. Feel that rope in your hands. The monster starts pulling the rope, pulling you forward. The struggle is on. Your issues are coming up. You pull back with all your strength and the monster pulls back too. It goes back and forth, pulling and being pulled, and your hands start to hurt. If only I can pull that monster into the pit, you think. The struggle continues. Then a new idea pops up. I have another choice here. I can simply let go. I don't have to struggle on my own. You ask for help from someone you know who loves you, so you trust that you will get that help. So you let go. You drop the rope and walk towards the person you ask for it from. I'm not going to pretend it's as easy as that. Ask for help and it comes and you feel like you can let go of all these things. It's scary. Battling with these things are difficult and we are taught from a young age to deal with things ourselves. You know, independence is such a buzzword. But if the past 4 years have taught us anything, it is community and relationships are vital for living well. We find ourselves sometimes not looking to others when we need help, the most due to pride and arrogance. We know Jesus relinquished control through prayer. Back in the garden, Jesus fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me." He knew in that moment he needed help. He needed to let go of control and ask. When I found things difficult at work, I've asked for help and felt infinitely better because I asked someone who understood what I was going through. They had more knowledge than I did. Children, after they may throw a tantrum and insist on doing something themselves, and they may even make the situation a lot worse than it was, will eventually, after a lot of encouragement, accept help. You tell them a teacher. But among us, not in this room today, but among us as a partner of this church, told me recently that they literally fell to their knees and prayed out for help as their own ways of dealing with addiction and living life were so difficult that he prayed out for God to take control. He's now free of that addiction and living a life trying to continue to pray and giving up other parts of his life to God's control. When we pray, we are praying to a loving, all-knowing God. A God who knows infinitely more than us. And we have the ability to give him anything in prayer. As Jesus approached the end game for his purpose, Jesus relinquished power by asking for help. But due to his relationship, he added one more phrase. Yet not as I will, but as you will. Jesus knows that the only way for the future to change is through the Father. But Jesus also knows that the call is the Father's too. As we pray, we come closer to God. As we pray, we understand God further. And as we pray, we begin to align our will with his. As 1 John 5:14 to 15 says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked for. We can pray because we have confidence, and as we ask, we begin to understand our own hearts. God will challenge us on thoughts, processes, and feelings that are perhaps against what he would have for us, what he knows to be best. God does not want you to suffer, but God also knows much more than we ever will. As discussed in previous weeks, we can't always say why God might not answer a prayer that we feel surely is in his plan. But we have confidence that when we are approaching him, he hears us and wants the best for us. As Pete Gregg points out, in prayer, we use our will to come into agreement with God's will. Let your kingdom come. Jesus taught us why prayer was so important when he gave us the Lord's Prayer. Your kingdom come, your will be done. It is through prayer that we come to God's will, accepting that as an individual, we might actually not know best. Emotions, relationships, jobs, maybe even the football teams we support. When we embark on a relational-based prayer life with the loving God, we understand that we have to realign our will with his so that the best can happen in our lives. So why pray? Well, we're told to, and Jesus thought it was important, even being God's son. These should be the pushes towards speaking to God, to a God that wants a better life for you forever. It's also good for us. It's scientifically proven. We view life differently when we pray. Our outlook is better and the life becomes just that little bit more manageable. And what do we get out of it? We get to develop an intimate relationship with a God that is literally love. We relinquish the power other parts of society have over us as well. And giving up control means that we are able to worry less by understanding that we are loved by a God that wants a better life for us. As we pray, God changes us so that we can live in a more Christ-like way and think more like Jesus. God shifts our heart to his will, which is a promise for life in his plan. So how do we do this practically and get the best out of prayer? Well, Eugene Peterson of the Message Translation stated that we neither manipulate God in the active voice nor are manipulated by God in the passive voice. We are involved in the action and participate in its results, but do not control or define it. Prayer takes place in the middle voice. This is to say that when we pray, we understand that God initiates good and we can participate in that. When we participate in a relationship with God through prayer, we understand God's will and our thoughts, feelings, and behaviors alter to become more Christ-like. Tyler Staton, the pastor and author of Praying Like Monks, Living Like Fools, puts it like this. The aim of prayer is not to get in on what I think he should be doing. Rather, the aim of prayer is to get us in on what God is doing. become aware of it, join it, and enjoy the fruit of participation. Prayer is the recovery of our role in God's created order, the recovery of our true identity and the relationship that defines that identity to us. In prayer, we can understand that good that is in the world is started by God, and we are able to get in on that action based on the relationship we create with him. We are able to learn who we are in prayer, learn God's will, and get involved with it. As I ask the band to come up, I'll finish with some practical thoughts this week. Satan takes the idea further and turns it into something that we can purposely do in order to pray in the middle voice. We can what he coins as pray with Mary. In Luke 1:38, what she replies after being told of the plan that she was to become Jesus' mother, she says, "I am the Lord's servant. May your word be fulfilled in me." In prayer, submit to the Lord as his servant, offering to lay down to his will. Follow this with requesting to know his will, knowing that he wants can be done through you. Aligning what you want with what he wants and demonstrating that you want the best from your relationship with him. This week, if you've never prayed, I urge you to try and not give up. Be open to what God is saying after you give him what concerns, worries, and anxieties you have. Pray because it's good for you. Pray in the confidence that he will hear you. If you're someone who believes and has sort of left their prayer life behind a little bit, and you maybe not prayed for a while, perhaps think about prayer in a different way. A prayer that actually is your way of being so you can develop and deepen your relationship with God. As with any relationship, it needs communication, and God is there waiting for your return. Pray with the purpose of getting closer to God, so that he can talk to you and you can strengthen your trust. Prayer is something that comes naturally to you. Congratulations. Consider the purpose of your prayers this week. Give praying like Mary a go and consider how much of your prayers are actually about your relationship with God. How much of what you pray is actually about aligning your will with his. Let's be more like Jesus in our prayer life. Not as I will, but as you will. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I am your servant. I am here in the knowledge of your power and your love. I am who I am because of who you are, and I'm loved only because what you have done. Everything I am, everything I have, is by your hand. Lord, may your words be fulfilled in me. I want to participate with what you are doing on this earth. Show me where that is. Lord, show me where I can get involved. I'm not starting this, Lord, but I definitely want to get involved. We want to pray like Mary. I am the Lord's servant. May your words be fulfilled with me. Jesus' holy name. Amen.